Here.
Ms. Budzinski?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis?
Here.
Ms. Kroll?
Here.
Ms. White?
Here.
Mayor Kelsey?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. For those assembly members that are joining us telephonically, please feel free to butt in if I forget that you're on the phone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
There we go. See, it works. Special order of business recognition. Fire department?
We'll ask for Fire Chief Etheridge to come up to recognize one of our staff.
Okay.
Thanks for having me up here today. Today we'd like to recognize our fire marshal that we have for the city, Dan Jager. Dan, come on up. He's kind of bashful. He loves his public recognition part. Dan was just recently awarded a certification recognition from the Center for Professional Excellence. Center for Professional Excellence is the designated fire marshal. Worldwide, there's only 110 of these officers that are designated currently. It's a very prestigious certification to get. It takes years of education, time in the job doing the position, continuing education, research projects. It's not a real easy task. Dan's been with the department about a dozen years now, and has just recently qualified for it. So we're awfully proud of the work he's put in. The fire service is no longer just a blue-collar type job anymore. It's a lot of education and research and studying and science, and Dan exemplifies professional firefighters. So because of that, one, he got recognized by the Center for the contributions he's made, and second, I want to issue him his second chief's challenge coin. These are issued maximum of 3 a year, and this is coin number 24 in the last 7 years. So
wow.
I want to recognize Dan for all of his work in raising the professionalism of the department and achieving such a high honor.
Much for public speaking, but everyone says that it's a great job and everything, and there's a lot of work involved, but I really can't emphasize how much of a team effort this really is. I might have done the paperwork, and I had to prove a lot of different things to get this, but absolutely it's a team effort through mentors, through chiefs that I've had over the past, and the encouragement and support I've had from family and everyone in the fire service to pursue and do better, constantly strive to raise the bar. I think it's an expectation that it should be on everyone that's in public service. Fire service is no different. So, thanks.
Thank you, gentlemen. Mr. Manager, homelessness awareness.
Mr. Mayor, we're going to bring up our Chief Housing Officer, Scott Chambor, to give us a little talk about an event that we're participating in.
Good evening. So I'm here to talk a little bit about this figurine behind me. The Mayor of Charleston encouraged the City of Juneau to participate in a temporary art installation to raise awareness about homelessness issues, similar to what they're doing in their community. Based on the 2016 annual point in time count in Charleston, South Carolina, they recognized that they had 430 people in their community who were homeless. So they partnered with a design firm to cut out a figure to represent each person who was homeless in their community. So they put out 430 figurines on their city hall lawn. To raise awareness that the community needed to work on that issue. it struck me that the Charleston has a lot of more space than we do. And so what they wanted to do was encourage capital cities throughout the country to participate, and they sent each capital city one figurine to post outside of their city hall to raise awareness. As you know, we're very fortunate to have lots of social service providers, affordable housing developers, assembly members, artists, concerned citizens who've been working and are well aware of the homeless issues in Juneau in our community. We have, as of the 2016 point in time count, 216 persons who are experiencing homelessness at that time. And so realistically, this is an opportunity to say to our community to keep doing good work. We've invested a lot of time and effort into the development of the 32-unit permanent supportive housing facility that's currently under construction in Lemon Creek. And so this installation will be outside City Hall through the end of September. And we'll send out a press release and other details for you to learn about and spread throughout the community tomorrow.
Thank you, Scott. Ms. White, I would entertain a motion of approval of the minutes.
Yes, I would move that we approve the minutes of the August 22nd meeting.
Is there any objection? Minutes are approved. Manager's request for agenda changes.
Mr. Mayor, I have one request, and that would be on the consent agenda, item 2B, that we pull resolution 2767, and we'll place that on a meeting at a subsequent time. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I would like to also request an agenda change, if possible.
Certainly.
Hey, what I would like to do and run this past Madam Attorney as well is I would like to take time during our executive session to discuss the salary and benefits for our city attorney. The committee has met, and we'd like to present what we have to the rest of the assembly in executive session, if that's possible.
I don't object.
It's within my purview to bring that up and put that into executive session. That's what I'm asking.
It is, and as the person whose reputation is potentially at risk, I give my permission.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. All right, that brings us to public participation on non-agenda items. And we have three people signed up. Madam Clerk, if you would time them at 2 minutes, or we can actually do
2 minutes.
Let's do 2 minutes. Okay. William Quayle. And again, when you come up, please state your address and your name, or your name and your address.
William Quayle, 415 Willoughby Avenue, number 305. This is regardless of the election or not. Okay, please, please get the changes I gave the city manager and put that on the agenda for pedicab. And I've been very patient about it, and I'm not giving up on it. Period. All the rest of the stuff I'm going to say Wednesday night.
Thank you, Mr. Quayle. Next is Dana Ruero, followed by Phil Bennett. Dana?
Okay, Honorable Mayor Kelsch, my name is Dana Rivera at 2682 David Street, and I'm here on behalf of Gold Belt Hotel, Baranoff Hotel, and various organizations that we have downtown that were affected by the noise that happened over the holiday weekend. First, I want to thank the mayor and the individual assemblies who worked to communicate with me over the Labor Day weekend. Second, I want to highlight several facts that I've researched that have may have been confused on, and then make some recommendations that will allow all of us to work together to mitigate the impacts of this project. Our group does not oppose this project. The work that is done on this project is almost completely under the control of the City and Borough of Juneau. The CBJ is required to follow state law and its own noise ordinances under the Department of Transportation utility permit. The state DOT adamantly denies providing any orders or direction to the city on how the project, other than you cannot block all lanes during traffic hours. The state law and the Juneau ordinances and the written terms of the permit clearly and absolutely prohibit unreasonable levels of noise and require previous notice to be given in 48 or 72 hours. And this had not been done. Copies of the permit and terms are attached. I provided booklets for everyone. And under the state law, Juneau ordinance, the term of the permit, citizens cannot make noise complaints, or citizens can make noise complaints to the Juneau Police Department, is expressly authorized to shut down the project. And that was actually in the permit that was I received from the city. On the very last page, it says that if it was disturbing the peace, that the police department could have shut down the project. And so I just have two recommendations in closing, because I realize my 2 minutes is up. And I ask that the mayor and the assembly take action tonight to direct the city manager to start a working group with the stakeholders and the contractors that will meet every other week to discuss the projects and how it will mitigate its impact, and that the mayor and assembly take action tonight, requesting that the city attorney to review Alaska statutes, city ordinances, the permit terms in writing, and a memo on just so we can all be better aware of what happened, especially how it affected our hotel and the residents of Juneau. And just to give you an example, the saw that went on, if you were to look at how much noise that makes, it's actually louder than a chainsaw. And so I had 142 people in the hotel with noise going on from 10 p.m. until I believe it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, that was louder than a chainsaw, just constant. And at no time did all four lanes get closed. So I just wish that we had a working group, and I would really appreciate that.
Thank you, Dana.
Thank you.
Are there any questions? Jackie?
And is it okay if I hand this out to everyone?
Please.
Thank you.
Or you can give it to the clerk and she can pass it
okay.
out. Thank you. Mr. Bennett?
Hello. Is this good?
You can bend it down a little bit.
Yeah. Is that better?
Mm-hmm.
My name is Felicia Ann Bennett, hence the Phil, and I live at 800 F Street, Park Shore Condos.
You guys are giving me a bad time.
First of all, good evening. I'm a follow-up to Dana. She was representing more the businesses' point of view on the projects that are going on Egan Drive. I had a prepared statement, but I'm going to wing it. The project that happened over Labor Day weekend, you folks have referred to as like from Main Street to 10th, the replacement of the water mains across Egan Drive, and you're doing it in sections. It's a precursor to the state's project next year on Egan Drive, which is a huge project changing Egan Drive. The first section you did was in front of Park Shore Condos. That happens to be where I live. That is 90 property owners there, and it brought it to all of our attention. One, the project that will be happening next year, and this project, which is minuscule compared to what's going to be happening next year, and we received absolutely no notice of this project. And the actual construction work began at 9 o'clock in the evening on Friday night of Labor Day weekend, and it continued the entire weekend from about 9 o'clock at night to 4 to 5 a.m. in the morning. We had 60 homeowners that were directly impacted. They got no sleep all weekend. we were calling state police, city police, state officials, city officials. Nobody knew what was happening. People were scared, concerned, angry, and tired. So we would like to avoid that in the future. And so I'm right there with Dana. From the residential point of view, we're requesting that some type of working committee be formed where we can bring state, city, private, and businesses together, especially for next year's mega project, because all of Egan Drive, well, from the intersection to Gold Belt, will be disrupted next year for, I think, an extended period of time. So that's what we're requesting also.
Okay.
Thank you
very much. Is there any questions? Thank you, Ms. Bennett.
Thank you.
That is our group that signed up for public comment at this time. There is a time later in the agenda where you can speak if you wish to. Brings us to the consent agenda. Is there any public request for consent agenda changes? At this time, is there any assembly requests for consent agenda changes? Assembly action, Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the adoption of the consent agenda with the removal of 2767, resolutions 2767, and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? Motion carried. That brings us to agenda part 8, public hearings.
Mr. Mayor.
Madam Clerk.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Just a point of order. The city manager had asked that item be removed from the agenda prior to this. Generally, if we take it off a consent agenda, then that's the first item up for public hearing. But since the manager had already removed it from the agenda, does it need to be part of the motion that Ms. Becker made? Or do we need to reiterate that it had already been pulled from the agenda.
I thought Ms. Becker...
Ms. Becker did, but the manager asked, when you asked for a change in agenda,
uh-huh.
He removed that from the agenda.
I see.
So that literally wasn't in, if we approved the change in agenda, that wasn't in the consent agenda any longer.
No.
So it's just point of order. I want to make sure we're clear.
No, we're good on that.
Okay.
Madam Attorney, do you need us to do anything else on that one?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. That brings us back to number 8 on the agenda, public hearing. And Madam Clerk, will you read the ordinance, please?
An ordinance... Sorry.
You're done.
Time's up. I'm going for too many things. Okay. Ordinance 2016-31, an ordinance providing for the issuance and sale of a general obligation school refunding bond in the aggregate principal amount of not to exceed $18,900,000 and providing for the form and terms of the bond and for unlimited tax levies to pay the bond.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would authorize the issuance of up to $18.9 million in bonds to refund or refinance the 2006A General Obligation School bonds. The original $44 million in bonds were sold September 15, 2006. The original bonds were sold directly into the market by CBJ, but the refunding is being done through the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank. The amount being refunded is $18.8 million plus issuance costs. If CBJ issues the refunding bonds in October 2016, the refunding will result in an estimated total savings of $1.4 million over the remaining life of the bonds. The term of the new issue will be the same as the original, with the final payment in December 2021. These bonds qualify for 70% reimbursement under the state's School Construction Bond Debt Reimbursement Program. However, the reimbursement under the state's debt reimbursement program is subject to annual appropriation by the legislature. The debt service component of the property tax mill rate funds the remaining portion of the payments. An informational update was provided to the Assembly Finance Committee at its September 8, 2016 meeting. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there any public comment? Ms. Purcell?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the adoption of Ordinance 2016-31 and ask the Assembly for unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? Motion carried. B, Ordinance 2016-09. Madam Clerk.
2016-09F, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $14,382,817 as funding for the Juneau International Airport to construct a snow removal equipment building capital improvement project, funding provided by the Federal Aviation Administration.
Mr. Manager?
This ordinance would appropriate $14,382,817 to construct a snow removal equipment building CIP. The FAA funds 93.75% of the project, with the remainder being split between the State Department of Transportation and the Juneau International Airport local match. Airport local match has previously been appropriated, and a DOT matching grant is anticipated shortly. Public Works and Facilities Committee reviewed this action at its June 27, 2016 meeting. The Airport Board approved this action at its July 28, 2016 special meeting. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there any public comment? Seeing none, Ms. Purcell?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the adoption of Ordinance 2016-09F and ask for unanimous consent.
Ms. Troll.
Thank you. I don't object, but just a quick question. You're expecting the matching grant shortly. Is that 2 weeks, within a month, 6 weeks?
I believe a month or so.
In time for the whole process to move forward?
Yes. Okay. Yes, so the project will move forward. There's enough funding in the project now to move forward with the construction. And since the DOT match is a relatively small portion of the project, it won't delay work on it.
Okay. Seeing no objections, the motion is approved. Ordinance 2016-09H. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $73,344 as funding for the Juneau International Airport Aircraft Rescue and Firefighting Building Modifications Capital Improvement Project, funding provided by the State of Alaska Department of Transportation.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would appropriate $73,344 in state DOT funding to the Aircraft Rescue and Firefighting Building Modification CIP. Funding from the FAA and Juneau International Airport has previously been appropriated. The FAA funded 93.75% of the project, and the remainder split between DOT and the airport. The total project cost is approximately $2.3 million. Public Works and Facilities Committee reviewed this action at its June 27, 2016 meeting, and the Airport Board approved this action at its August 9, 2016 meeting. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there any public comment? Seeing none, Ms. Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the adoption of Ordinance 2016-09H and ask the Assembly for unanimous consent.
Seeing no objection, it is approved. That brings us to unfinished business. Mr. Manager.
No unfinished business.
That brings us to new business, liquor license transfer. And Madam Clerk.
This is the liquor license transfer number 851, Rodfathers LLC. And restaurant, eating, place, liquor license 851.
Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, the topic of this liquor license transfer was taken up by the Human Resources Committee immediately before this meeting, and I would ask that you request Mr. Jones provide a report on the committee's actions.
Okay. Mr. Jones, do you want to provide that report, or do you want to?
No, I can do that. We did meet, and we had a discussion with Mr. Morrison and also with Mr. Bartholomew about the best way to proceed. And during that discussion, we had quite a bit of discussion about what should be the approach. And the decision of the Human Resources Committee is to, and I will make this as a motion for the Assembly from the committee, that the CBJ Assembly waive their right to protest this transfer as long as the Rod Fathers, Mr. Morrison, and the CBJ agree on a, confession of judgment, and that is done before the 16th, as that is the time when our 60-day protest period expires. And that was the motion from the Human Resources Committee. Both Mr. Morrison and Mr. Bartholomew felt that that could be accomplished, and they both left it agreeing with that motion. So I make that motion, and I guess would ask for unanimous consent.
Okay. Is there objection?
No, but may I ask a question?
Yes, certainly.
Okay. Thank you,
Ms. White.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Jones, I understand that a confession of judgment is a stronger collection instrument, but I'm curious as to what additional power that leaves the city and borough.
I will take my amateur attempt, and if Ms. Mead wants to jump in. A confession of judgment, I believe, gives the city borough a stronger opportunity if we have to go to court in terms of collection.
Confession of judgment gets you, you know, when you file a suit, the ultimate goal is to get a judgment mm-hmm. upon which you can execute. Mm-hmm. So this is where a party admits that they owe the CBJ a debt and that they are allowing the court to go ahead and enter judgment because they are admitting that fact. If the stipulated payment plan is then not adhered to, the CBJ can then immediately go to the court and ask for leave to execute upon the writ.
Okay. But he can, the business can still operate provided they follow the rules.
Yes.
As long as they can still operate.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I guess I could have asked that elsewhere. I'm sorry.
Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess the question would be for Mr. Jones or Madam Attorney as well. I now it's two-part based on what Ms. Mead just said. My question is time frames. If we're giving them till the very last day to make it right or come to an agreement and they don't, then we're out of time to meet as a body to address it then, aren't we? That's my concern, is if there is no action taken and we use up the whole window of opportunity to protest it, we won't. I don't know when the time frame is, but if we're giving them till the last day, it seems like we won't have the opportunity to sit down as a body again and actually make that protest because our time is up. So my concern is if they took no action, they'd get it because we would have run through our time frame. That's kind of a question. Like I said, but I'm not sure I phrased it correctly.
Mr. Jones?
The motion that came from the committee is that the CBJ waive its right to protest as long as the confession of judgment is done before the 16th. If it's not done, then we would not remove our right to protest. So we would still protest the license transfer. And basically what's happening here is Rodfathers LLC has the license. And in February, we waived our right to protest, even though there was some payment problems, but he was making payments. This is a transfer so that he can operate rather than at Rodfather's at Papa John's, which is a stand over here behind the parking garage. So it's not a transfer of ownership. It's just simply a transfer of place of business. And we felt that since we had made the exception in February, we would continue the exception of not protesting as long as payments were being done, but we thought that it would be a stronger hold if we got the confession of judgment. Both parties at the end of the meeting felt they could do that before Wednesday, and Wednesday's the 14th. Mm-hmm. So they should be done a couple days ahead. But the way the motion reads, if they don't, then we protest, as I understood how I made the motion.
If I may, Mr. Mayor. Madam Attorney? Yes? What he said?
That's how I understood it. If that's incorrect, the Assembly should so say right now.
Again, Madam Clerk, will you restate the motion?
To waive the right to protest this transfer as long as Mr. Morrison and CBJ agree to a confession of judgment to be accomplished before September 16th, the 60th day of the review period.
And Madam Attorney, does that do what we're trying to do?
That's how I understand it. That's what I'm seeing from the Assembly right now, is that your intent is to waive the right to protest as long as the confession of judgment is signed and entered into.
And if the confession is not signed, then we protest.
Correct.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, I have no objection. That was a question. Thank you.
Yep. Good to get it clarified. Any further discussion? Mr. Jones moved that and asked for unanimous consent. Is there objection? Seeing none, motion carries. Staff reports. Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, I have one, and Ms. Cosgrove has one as well. You heard testimony early tonight about the Egan Drive Water Project, and I think that got a lot of people's attention. We are looking at where we went wrong on our public communication efforts on that project, and we will take Ms. Raro and Ms. Bennett up on their offer of a stakeholder group for the duration of this project, but also for the greater need of next year's DOT projects, which I do think is going to be a burden on a lot of people throughout the corridor.
So you will be meeting with them to discuss setting up a weekly or biweekly or meeting schedule?
Whatever it takes to make sure that we're getting them the information that they need.
Okay. And Ms. Mead,
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Just a question on that staff
Certainly.
Report, please. The two or three public meetings that DOT's had on the Egan project that I've attended, what I've read on the web page, I was left with the impression that that's a two-year project, that basically they're going to do part of it next year and finish it up the year after. Just because of the construction season with the construction of all the new sidewalks and all that kind of stuff. Is that still true, or is this now just a one-year project?
Through the mayor, I am not familiar with all the details, and I do not believe they've awarded the work to a contractor yet, so we can follow up on that and make sure everybody has the right dates.
I might miss Mayor, because the last public meeting that was held at Centennial Hall, looking at the design and everything, I think that was, they were still talking two construction seasons to finish that all up. So, yeah, I think that would be good to clarify, especially if you're going to be meeting with stakeholder groups. We want to be up front as much as we can.
Ms. Straw.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Manager, I'm assuming this, but it's always good to kind of put it on the record that your engagement with these stakeholders, the hotel owners and the residents, it's not just for communication, but also to figure out the timing and the best way to mitigate the impacts, alerting people, that the whole works.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
Thank you.
Any other assembly? So, Ms. Attorney, that was a two-part request, and
To be honest, I'm unclear what they are looking for from me, if they would like to know which CBJ ordinances might have applied to this situation, I can assist in that way. I think the best thing for me to do would be to work with Mr. Watt in communicating with the stakeholders to find out what, if any, information I can bring to them.
Excellent. I do have another question, if you don't mind. Is Franklin Street going to be worked on next year?
Mr. Mayor, it is, and the question that I'm struggling with is whether there's spring work or fall work. I'm looking at Mr. Healy, and I don't believe he readily knows that. There's a public meeting scheduled
September 28th.
A matter of weeks, and we can email out that schedule to everybody as well.
Just thinking of getting a private number or something. All right. Mr. Manager, anything else?
Ms. Cosgrove has a report on contract negotiations.
Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to report to you in the Assembly that the MEBA bargaining unit ratified their collective tentative agreement last Friday. It was too late in the process to get anything into your packet for this evening, but you can expect to see those terms come through on the consent agenda at the next Assembly meeting, and the contract provisions were consistent with the direction of the Assembly.
Okay. Are there any questions? Okay. Thank you very much. That brings us down to Assembly reports. Mayor's report. I was part of the whale ceremony at Bridge Park Labor Day weekend, and Labor Day weekend was also part of the Labor Day picnic at Sandy Beach. Both were very well attended and very well supported. I was also part of the remembrance at Rotary Park for 9/11. The ceremony was moving, and I have to say I'm very proud to be part of a community that remembers the victims and recognizes the sacrifices of the first responders. So thank you, Glacier Rotary, for a job well done. It's the mayor's report. Committee and liaisons report, starting with Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Committee of the Whole last met on August the 28th. We heard an update on the new emergency operations plan, which we adopted by resolution tonight on the consent agenda, and got an initial briefing on the kickoff of the historic preservation planning process, and made some recommendations for strengthening the public outreach on that to actually involve as much of the public as we can as that plan starts to get developed. We heard an update on the housing action plan, and the Committee of the Whole had many, many questions for staff and requests for additional information that should be coming back to us. And we had a visit from one of our United States senators, Senator Sullivan, and had a good back and forth with him. The Committee of the Whole next meets on October 10th, and the agenda is very crowded, so no more U.S. senators at that meeting, please. The University of Alaska Southeast Campus Council met today. I was on my way to a family trip here that I'm on, calling in from, so I was not able to attend, but I want to highlight again something I mentioned at our last meeting. University of Alaska Board of Regents will be in town this week, and this Thursday evening, the 15th, at 5:30 p.m. at the Gamble Spurl Joint Youth Center, the UAS Rec Center and National Guard Armory, they're having a community forum. It is really important that members of the community and any members of the Assembly who are able to make it, I encourage you to talk with the Regents about the importance of the university to our community and to our region. And there's a special focus that I'm encouraging because of the strategic pathways planning process that they're in. They're talking about which university in our state should have the lead on training teachers and superintendents, which should have the lead on fisheries training, and also the public administration program. There's no more natural campus to lead those programs, and no place that has done those things more effectively or cost efficiently than Southeast, Juneau in particular. And so other campuses have done a remarkable job rallying the troops and wowing the regents with turnout, and I would encourage folks in Juneau to do the same. The school board has its regular meeting tomorrow. They precede their regular meeting at 6 p.m. at Thunder Mountain with an open house, which they have not done before in my time as the liaison. And that's just sort of a meet-and-greet question-and-answer informal-type process. It starts at 4:30 p.m. So if you're able to get there before the 6 o'clock meeting, you can meet the school board members and talk with them in an informal way. That concludes my liaison reports. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Public Works and Facilities Committee met on August 29th. We had one action item that was we forwarded to the Assembly that you'll hear about soon, and that is Bartlett Hospital's Rotary Uninterruptible Power System appropriation, taking money from their operating budget to help them in switch over power from in emergencies. And then we had some information items about Meander Way erosion, basically erosion in the Mendenhall River. We heard about the West Douglas Road, where that is. Talked about parking in the Willoughby District, Willoughby Parking Study, and also Recycle Works Program update. The next meeting in September is canceled, and so the next meeting of the Public Works Facilities Committee will be October 10th. Bartlett Regional Hospital Board met on the 23rd of August, and they introduced Katie Bosler, who's the new PR Community Relations Director. They had reports from various committees. You know that they passed a resolution that they gave to us about CAMU, about the level 5 residential facility for child, adolescent, mental health care. They did that at that meeting. And they talked about the hospitalist program. The director talked about the success of that program. They're happy with that pilot, and they intend to make it work year-round. So they're going to it was such a success, they're going to keep that for another year. And the Hospital Foundation annual gala is confirmed for October 8th. So everyone's invited to dress up and support the hospital on October 8th. The next meeting of the board is September 27th. And the PRAC met twice since we met. They met on September 6th and took public testimony on fireworks. Heard from quite a number of people, quite a spirited debate, so much so that they couldn't finish. So that was on last Tuesday, and they scheduled themselves for an extra meeting that same Friday. So they met on Friday to continue discussing their recommendation, and they did pass a motion on Friday. Their motion is that they recommend the Assembly prohibit fireworks in parks on all days except July 3rd, July 4th, December 31st, and January 1st, and other dates permitted by the Parks and Rec Director. So I assume we'll get that formal motion somehow during our fireworks debate, but that's what they did. And they next meet. Their meeting was supposed to be election day in October, so they moved it to the following week. And that's my committee and liaison reports.
Thank you very much, Ms. Gladyszewski. Ms. White.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So the Planning Commission meeting on August 23rd was fairly quick. Two large items on that agenda, the Rock Quarry expansion for Stabler's Point and Sweetheart Lake, which is, of course, we now they've got all their permits and they're ready to build. Tomorrow night, starting at 7 in Assembly Chambers, should be fairly short, looks like a relatively light agenda with a zoning change. Travel Juno's been extremely busy, and pardon me, I'm trying not to come down with cold here. Last week, well, September 6th to 10th, the National Association of Farmers Market Nutrition Programs met in Juneau. That includes a lot of the WIC program coordinators and that type of thing. That brought a lot of people to Juneau. This week, I welcome a lot of my peers as the Alaska Association of Realtors Convention is in the process of setting up. Our executive officer is here already. And that will be Wednesday through Saturday. so I'll be a little unavailable this week. Later this month, the Alaska Moose Lodges are doing their convention here in Juneau. And Travel Juneau is currently hosting about 25 international media and tour operators so that they can learn more about our tours and do this ahead of what a summit in Anchorage that is next week. It's called Adventure World Summit. That actually got my attention. I almost wanted to go. the new convention sales manager at Travel Juneau is Kirk Stagg, and they snagged him from Cisco Food Service. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Ms. White. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The city and school district facility group will be meeting this Thursday at 1 o'clock to discuss. Part of the discussion will be over the contract that has been issued, the partial one, and some of the recommendations for what should be done in that contract. Do you want all of it at one time? The chamber continues to meet every Thursday, but on the 22nd, there won't be a regular lunch because they're having the candidate forum at the Moose Lodge. I also went to Rotary Park with quite a few of you, which is a very impressive and moving ceremony. The electric cars all showed up at Sandy Beach this Saturday. I want one. everyone says they're great and they ride well and they do just fine in our weather in the winter. So, and they're really cute too. And they don't cost you anything from what I understand. And then I also was there to welcome the whale and just generally busy little things around our exciting community. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Mr. Van Kerbitz.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Finance Committee met last Thursday, where we passed some information on to the Finance Department on how to bring us some ordinances to backfill our approximately $4.3 million budget deficit. We opted not to address the school district's $450,000 veto, loss of money because of the veto, until our November meeting. And how we did that is we pulled an unexpected $500,000 out of sales tax. It was an unexpected increase in sales tax revenue this year. We moved approximately $700,000 out of our deferred maintenance account. We moved $500,000 out of what is anticipated operational savings from the departments within the city, and the rest, which I think was 2.6 or 2.8, I don't remember exactly where it was at, came out of our fund balance. And we did that last Thursday. Our next finance meeting is November 9th, and you said you wanted liaison as well, correct?
Correct.
All right. Dockson Harbor's upcoming events, Douglas Harbor information. The fabricated floats are currently arriving. The substantial completion date for Douglas Harbor is set for March 31st of next year. We've had some correspondence email. I think we all have had some correspondence about that regarding landscaping, and I replied back and said that it's not completed yet. So hopefully that is all addressed by March 31st. The Statter Harbor final completion is expected November 1st. The land lease for the old Thane Ore House was before us tonight. It will be before us again in 3 more weeks. There are now recycling bins located at Aurora and Statter Harbor for cardboard, aluminum, and plastic.
Regarding the NOAA building in Auk Bay, the application has been submitted to MARAD, MARAD, and don't ask me what that stands for, but it's a federal acronym. And their next meeting is scheduled for September 22nd at 5 p.m. here in the chambers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nantrevis. Ms. Troll.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Lands and Resources Committee met on the August 29th, and we dealt with the Dockson Harbor's lease. That was part of our consent agenda for the Thor Ore House. The negotiated sale of the North Franklin parking lot will be back before us at the next Lands Committee. And the Lands Committee also dealt with the approval of the disposal of Lot 3 in the Renninger subdivision to the Juneau Housing Trust for less than fair market value. And then once again, we had one of our never-ending discussions on parking that will undoubtedly continue. And the next meeting of the Lands Committee is October 10th. Let me get my other notes here. The Affordable Housing Commission met on Tuesday, September 6th. They had a representative from the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation speak to them about the loans to sponsors, which is kind of an interesting project, program that might have some applicability to Juneau. They continue to work on their prioritization. Hopefully that will come to some final recommendations on the Housing Action Plan soon. And speaking of the Housing Action Plan, the commission actually went through point by point the comments that they received from the assembly and discussed how to address those individual comments. So changes will be made in the Housing Action Plan before it gets to us next. Then they discussed the rollout for the True North Federal Credit Union Mobile Home Down Payment Plan. The next meeting of the Affordable Housing Commission is October 4th. The Juneau Commission on Sustainability, they met on September 8th, and they held a hearing on the energy plan in conjunction with the news about Juneau Hydro, Sweetheart Lake, and the Central District Heating, and it was well attended. And that concludes my committee and liaison reports.
Thank you, Ms. Troll. Ms. Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The first liaison report I have is for the Eagle Crest Board. We met on September 1st. The Lodge and Eagle's Nest roofing is complete. Power options to the base of Black Bear were discussed. Wind options and or solar power are being discussed. They get a lot of work up at Eagle Crest, including replacing old sewage pipes, painting, put new lights in the stairway. As far as staffing, they had a lot of good candidates for seasonal positions. We have a new full-time groomer. Most of the positions start at the end of October. The big news from Eagle Crest is that season tickets went on sale on September 1st. And if you want to get a good price right now on your season ticket, get them now. The prices will go up on October 17th and then again will increase on November 14th. Right now, you can get a weekday season pass for only $269. My second liaison report is for the Local Emergency Planning Committee. We met on August 10th. The big news with the LEPC is our September 17th drill. This is a federally mandated drill where it's going to happen out at the airport, and they're still looking for volunteers, by the way. Volunteers are needed to play the roles of injured passengers, distraught family members, and bystanders, and ideally there's going to be enough volunteers to act out a scenario with the largest plane that lands in Juneau, which seats 180 people. So it's going to be a big disaster drill at the Juneau airport. So it's we'll start at 9 a.m. on September 17th. Like I said, we still need more people to volunteer, so anyone who's interested should contact the Assistant Chief Ed Quinto 586-0259, or you can email volunteer at JNU Airport. People can volunteer alongside their entire family, children and all, and we'll need to show up at 8 a.m. To start working on their scripts. The next meeting of the LEPC is going to be on September 14th at noon. This meeting is not going to be in the usual place over at Bartlett Regional Hospital. Instead, it's going to be at the K2 building. And that, Mr. Mayor, completes my liaison report.
Thank you, Ms. Purcell. Mr. Jones?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee met prior to our assembly meeting tonight. We had several issues on our agenda. First one was appointments to the Historic Resources Advisory Committee. And the recommendation from the Human Resources Committee is that we appoint John Fox to a term expiring June 30, 2018. And we appoint Chuck Smythe to a term expiring June
30, 2019. Is there any objections? Motion. The nominations are approved.
Thank you. Second item was we again reviewed the Youth Activities Board resolution changes. At the last Human Resources Committee, we had some questions around the scoring and the ordinance. We were given more material, and it was the recommendation of the Human Resources Committee to make one additional change in the resolution, and we will get that to the attorney for drafting, and then that will come before us on the 26th of October, that resolution reauthorizing the Youth Activities Board. And we dealt with the liquor license transfer already. And in your red folder is a memo from Clerk Beth McEwen about the board training that went on, who participated, how many people were there, and the results of their evaluation of the board training. You can read that as your, at your leisure. And that's it for the Human Resources Committee. Liaison reports, the Downtown Business Association met on 9-6. There was a lot of discussion regarding Main Street USA. I want to thank the Finance Committee for approving that funding. Talking about their participation in the Front in Franklin, discussion of their participation with the city manager in an ad hoc parking group. That I've already had a conversation with him that he did a better job explaining to me in a couple of minutes than they tried to come up with what they were going to be doing, but they continue to be interested in parking. Also, I think that they are going to survey their members. In the past couple of years, through the Juneau Economic Development Council and with the DBA, they went around all the businesses explaining what the rules were regarding if you're going to close up your business, just don't put your paper in your windows, you know, you should have lights on. And their evaluation of that effort over the last 2 years was it wasn't very successful, that the storefronts were still papered up, that there wasn't a lot going on, that their education of the businesses was for naught. Also, there was some report from the businesses that a lot of hawking was still going on. And so they're going to survey all the members about what happened this season, what were some issues that the Downtown Business Association should try to deal with, and try to bring some kind of report back. But there was just some real concern that a lot of their efforts to change behavior of their fellow business people wasn't very successful. I was searching my calendar trying to find their next meeting, and I can't find it, so I'll skip that one. I did not attend the JEDC meeting on September 7th, and so if anybody was there, they can report. But I was there with the mayor on September 9th for 4 hours in the morning. Board was there to meet to basically go over sort of analysis of what they were about what some of their issues were, what some of their opportunities were, and also the work on the work plan to try to realign the work plan that had been put together earlier with the Juneau Economic Development Plan and to get that work aligned. I think they got a long ways. I still think there's some work yet to do to really fine-tune that. I think they're working in a good direction, but sort of getting it all down on paper that they can put some of the metrics together. They still have some work to do. And their next meeting is October 5th. I did not attend the October 13th Commission on Aging or the September meeting. I was up in Anchorage. Their next meeting is October 13th. I do know, and I did confirm that Scott Chambord did talk to them regarding senior housing and some of those issues, and that Bob Bartholomew was there to talk about the senior sales tax. Had some discussion with Bob tonight before the meeting, and hopefully when he gets together a paper on that he told them he was going to be doing, he'll present it to us. And a lot of it was around people that had filed for the rebate check, and there's some issues there that I think we need to look at. The airport board meeting, we dealt with most of those issues. That we passed a couple of ordinances, we passed a bid request, and we scheduled, I think, three more for public hearing at our September 26th meeting. That was most of the last meeting. They did approve a new leasing policy. And I don't know if those come before the assembly or not, but I know law has reviewed that policy and made some basically wording changes, as I understand it. We did approve the bid and stuff for the snow removal building, and I know that the airport is looking at some time to do a little bit of a groundbreaking. I just don't know when. So, and their next meeting is October 11th. I probably attended a bunch of other meetings, so I can't remember them all. Presiding officers' reports, if I can skip to that. The Meek appeal, that's the asphalt plant. We've had a couple of filings. We're still on track for deadlines, and that hearing is on December 19th before the assembly. The Nestler, that's the grooming, dog grooming appeal. The clerks have been trying to get the parties to respond and try to set a time for our first hearing, and that has not been successful to this point of getting everybody even to submit any dates at all. So I know the clerk talked to Mr. Nestler today, and he's trying to get somebody to represent him, and that person's out of town, so I don't know when we'll do the first meeting. But just before that, we will try to pick a date and work backwards for that particular hearing. So those are my two presiding officer reports as well.
Ms. Bladyshevsky, do you have any presiding officer reports?
I do not, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Was there four?
I've got one.
Mr. Kill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Seal Trust property tax appeal had our preliminary conference on September the 1st, and we were able to set the dates. So look forward with great anticipation to the hearing on February 1st at 5 p.m. We should be able to have packets to everyone more than a week in advance of that, hopefully 9 or 10 days. And I know that there have been some folks who have strong opinions about that, so just as a reminder to all of us, not that most of us need it, because it's in our judicial capacity, we can't have conversations about these while they're going on, and if anybody needs desperately to have a further conversation, you can send them to me as presiding officer or to Ms. Siebens in the law department, who is the assembly's attorney counselor on that.
Thank you, Mr.
Kiel, and as long as we have you, can we get any assembly comments or questions if you have any?
I will hold off for this evening. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will, too. I'm good. Thank you.
Got a little trend going here. Two for two. Ms. White.
Okay, I'll pass. Just as you like it.
Ms. Becker. No, this is fine. Ms. Becker?
I can't pass because it's good news. Okay. Housing First just received $600,000 of the community grant, right? And that's the one that they didn't get, and they rewrote the grant, and they got $600,000. That's really good news.
Yeah. Congratulations.
They're gone.
What?
They're not here.
All right, Mr. Dan Kirpas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll take a lot of time since people already forfeited theirs. Now, what I have, we had a couple of people come in tonight during public comment. Mr. Jones brought it up as well. The Main and Egan to 10th and Egan project coming up. In the past, we've had DOT come in and give a report on their projects to Public Works Facilities Committee. I was going to suggest that to Ms. Gladyszewski. However, an election is coming up, and we're going to do our juggle committee thing fairly soon, and the chances of getting them in before that happens are probably slim to none. But it might be a good idea to request somebody from DOT come and give us an update on that, because I believe the last time they were in front of Public Works, they didn't have a plan finalized, and maybe Mr. Jones has seen something that's more final, but it was still fairly fluid, I thought, the last time they talked to us. But it's a big project, and it's going to have a big impact, and it probably wouldn't hurt, again, based on there's community concerns as well, a year out, so to at least get us more informed on that. And I just wanted to say I was at the whale unveiling, or whatever you called it, on Saturday, but nobody noticed. I was on the water, and my air horn didn't work, so I just went by and went by again, and nobody noticed, so I was there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Ms. Troll.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I need to circle back a little bit to the liaison reports. I failed to mention that the Affordable Housing Commission did approve sending a letter of support for the downtown housing project on North Franklin. So that will be before the Lands Committee. That was their one main action item, and I overlooked it. So there's that. In terms of my assembly comments, I too attended the September 11th remembrance. I find it always very moving. I happened to be back in New York State at that time, and I just love how the community comes together to remind us of all that we have in common. It was a really well done ceremony. Electric cars, super exciting to see. I was surprised, I'm sure Ms. Becker was as well, that there was a line of probably about 30 or 40 of them, you know, and more will grow. I also spoke to Maria Lovacek today about the Housing First grant, and just to add on to the comments that Ms. Becker made, the other takeaway message is that by receiving this grant, it bodes well for their next grant program. So our bridge financing amount is looking more in line as Mr. Bartholomew projected. Keep our fingers crossed. Yeah. And lastly, I'd just like to give a shout out to our staffer, Michelle Eifers, for her work in creating that whole Mayor's Institute on City Design and getting us invited. And I know that you're participating in that, Mr. Mayor. It's an exciting program that I think will go really well with the Main Street program. And so just encouraged by all the interest that's happening in the downtown area.
Thank you, Ms. Stroll.
Thank you.
Ms. Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wanted to give a shout out right now to people in our community who do volunteer work, and especially to people in our community who give their time to children in both sports events and in academic clubs. I think sometimes these people are sort of overlooked, but I think it's important to, now that school has started, to just make sure that we're all watching and thanking these people who are supporting our children. Some of those people who are making our children into young adults who end up getting scholarships to go to college, or just becoming generally good people overall. And there are an amazing amount of or number of clubs and activities. Hoop Time volunteers put in hours, long, long hours for many months of the year. I know ski clubs, lots of academic clubs, and then in organized sports within schools and at the high school level, the coaches do incredible work. One coach I just wanted to recognize in particular is the JDHS cross country team, and that's Tristan Knutson-Lombardo. And he always seems to be going above and beyond in what he does. And he was one of the volunteers who was out there in the search when we had the missing young man here last week. And people were successful in finding him. Large number of people came out to look for this young man, and it was really a great thing to find him the day after he'd been missing. And so I just wanted to say thanks to all of the people who were involved in those efforts. It was really a great show of community support.
Thank you, Ms. Brazell. Mr. Jones?
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. Just a couple of comments since Mr. Healy's here, and I think one of the last assembly meetings I commented about getting the lease through for the road there by the Douglas Post Office, and it was blocked off today, and there was brand new asphalt down today, and looks like all that's fixed. So whatever happened, and I'm happy, although you couldn't find a place to park because that part was all blocked off, and the street was all taken up, probably with Fish and Game and DOC employees. But anyway, I did get my mail checked. And then I did read in the paper that the governor's veto of some of the school funds was done wrong. The legislature says, in fact, that vetoes weren't allowed, and I think the OMB director agreed to some extent that they wouldn't argue with it. So it sounds like that $200,000 that part of the cap that they lost is not lost. But I'm sure, talking with Mr. Bartholomew, I think that'll all get straightened out before our November meeting. But looks like we dodged one more bullet for one more year, at least a partial anyway. And then, as all of you know, I serve on the Marijuana Control Board. And I appreciated being able to call in. I got to listen to the governor for about 25 minutes. We had a 30-minute lunch. So we still didn't get through all of our licenses, so we're going to meet again on the 19th. I'll be in Connecticut on the phone. But just for the impact of Juneau, if you didn't read the paper, we do have one license that is actually growing. They fully license, and they are actually growing marijuana. We approved three for the community of Juneau. All of them, I think, are pending whether or not this assembly waives the protest, but I think that will be at some future meeting. We have another grow license, a manufacturer license, and a retail license that was dealt with at the meetings last week. But if you read the paper, I'm guessing, and they're guessing, that probably the first product available for retail sales in Juneau probably won't be until the middle of November. So far, that's our only retail, which is our only sales tax source. The growers that would produce the state's tax, none of that comes to the city. So whatever largesse we thought might happen at least this year, I'm guessing given the volume of licenses for Juneau, unless the one retailer sells a lot, there won't be sales tax may not be as high as we thought. And I'm trying to think. I think that's it, Mr. Mayor. I'll try to. I know we have an executive session, and Ms. Glaszewski is in Philadelphia, so I don't want to keep her up too late.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Madam Clerk, is there anyone signed up for a continuation of public participation? Mr. Dan Kervis, I'm going to ask you to move us into executive session, but before I do that, Madam Clerk, will we need to change the phone context?
No.
All right.
It's fine. They can stay on the phone, and we'll just turn off the other connection.
All right, Mr. Dan Kervis, would you move?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll give it a shot. Mr. Keel, please step in and correct me if I botch this up too bad. Mr. Mayor, I would move this body adjourns into executive session to discuss an update from the city attorney on the CLIA litigation and also to discuss the city attorney compensation package and the details of which might have a negative effect on how somebody's perceived. So I say we do it. How close was I, Jesse?
One on finances and one on character. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Is there any objection to that motion?
Yes,
we do. Going into executive session, and I'd like to give you about a 5-minute break.
And that's recess, not adjourn. Recess into executive.
Recess.
Did I say adjourn?
No, I probably did, though.
He did. He did it.